The following program is sponsored and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us today. And before we get started, I just want to remind you that you should not run out and take action on any of the news, the strategies, and the opportunities that you may hear discussed on today's show. And this is an original recording this week. We're live, and we hope to try to be live more often than not, although it's been difficult scheduling wise to keep on top of it. But in any event, if you are interested in any opportunity, strategy, etc., please check with your existing advisors. They have your information, presumably, and can tell you whether what you thought you heard was correct, and more importantly, whether it applies to your facts and circumstances. For those that don't have advisors that deal in the areas of real estate taxation, multifamily syndications, or retirement planning, feel free to go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And you'll see a link at the top right for client forms or intake forms. I don't have it up on the screen at the moment, but you can't miss it. And then when you go to that page, the first link is form one, and it's a client profile. And if we can get that information, I'll be happy to have a phone call with you in the very near future, and we can discuss how we might be able to help you achieve your goals and objectives. And you can also schedule that call once you've submitted the form at the link at the far right, just next to the forms link. And in any event, we're going to talk about several topics today, time permitting. I can't tell you exactly how many we'll get through, but the first one, or at least the one that I want to spend the most time on, is why you might not want to do a Roth conversion. We've spent a lot of time on why you should consider doing Roth conversions, and I tend to, I think, overemphasize the opportunity and the reason and the rationale. And the good thing we've got when we're talking about real estate and specifically multifamily private partnership syndications is we get such a huge discount to the amount we invested that it gives us a lot of downside protection. We'll be back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, You can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
You're coming back right now, right? Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We were right in the middle of explaining how your Roth conversion tax is going to be calculated if you do it using traditional non-Roth investments, meaning you've got an account at Charles Schwab or Fidelity et al., and you ring them up and you ask them, you know, what's my account balances today? And they say, well, gee, looks like you're sitting on $1 million. And for you to convert to Roth, if we did it today based on end of business values, you're going to pay tax on that $1 million to get them into a Roth status for moving forward. Which, again, the reason we do Roth is why? Because we don't want to pay tax at any rate other than what we know it is today. I mean, assuming you believe, like I do, that tax rates are probably never going down again in our lifetime. So I guess what I'm saying is you don't want to pay tax at a higher rate. And yet that's what so many people are doing. And I would suggest, I mean, I don't have the financial data to tell you this, but I would suggest that most people are sitting on pre-tax accounts. So that $1 million, when I ask people, when they approach me about doing some work with them, I'm always curious about the materiality of the solutions or the strategies that I might be able to bring to the table. And I ask, well, how much do you have in your retirement accounts? And they'll say, oh, you know, I've got $1 million. Isn't that enough for retirement? And I say, well, you know, there's just one problem. You're talking about what it is before you take it out to live on. And if you think about it in that context, and you know, I'm always curious, and I will ask, well, what's the highest rate you think taxes will go up to in your lifetime? And nobody really knows. I mean, and it's because we don't know, but nobody has an idea. I rarely get an answer. It's kind of like they think it's going to stay the same. And I don't know, folks. I, you know, when you look at the existing U.S. Deficit, I don't know that you can assume it's going to stay the same. In fact, I rather think it's going to go up hugely. And, you know, we're knocking on the door. We're at $39 trillion $525 billion at the moment. This is live, real time. I'm actually on the usdebtclock.org. And I've seen many prognosticators that talk about rates as much as doubling over the next 10 years, 10 to 15 years, you know through, say, 2050. I guess that'd actually be 25 years. But certainly in the next 10 years, we've got some major tension points we're going to be at 2034, 35 with Medicare and Social Security. And I'm not sure how that will translate to each of our tax situations. If you're retired, you may not have, if you're truly retired, you obviously won't have earned income, but you may not have as much Social Security as you think you're going to have either. You realize if Congress does not get a grip on Social Security between now and 2034, and I don't really think it's, I think it's now. I don't think it's, you know, a year in advance of 2034, but the statute, the Social Security statute, as amended, statutorily will reset every recipient's Social Security benefit. It'll be a haircut or a discount of about 20. I believe the current number projected is 23% will be cut off of that payment that you're getting today. And that could be catastrophic for many folks that are on Social Security. And, and that's just Social Security. With respect to the tax situation, income tax, you know, you may or may not be expecting to pay tax on your Social Security, and depending on how much money you're bringing or you're getting, you may not. But if you've got significant other income, I don't have the cutoffs in front of me, but let's assume you're up in your married filing joint and you're up in the, I believe it's in the $50,000 or higher strata, you're going to pay income tax on more. Well, you're going to pay income tax, I should just say, period. If you're under that, the odds are you won't encounter income tax, but you've got other issues most likely with being able to afford your monthly bills. And, you know, as the rates go up, that becomes even more of an issue. So, you know, if you can stay under whatever that adjusted taxable number is each year where you don't pay any tax on your Social Security. And, of course, if you do pay tax on Social Security, it's stair-stepped up to where you'll pay up to tax or up to tax on as much as 85% of that Social Security. It's not on 100%, but it's still a healthy bite when you look at the history of Social Security. But in any event, one thing that I want to point out, the Roth gives us some benefits in that regard. I mentioned just briefly Medicare, and Medicare has the IRMA component where if you make too much money, you're going to pay tax on Medicare. You're going to effectively pay it back. And yet the Roth type distributions each year do not go into the calculation of how much money did you make. In other words, did you make too much to avoid IRMA? Roth doesn't count. That could be huge in many taxpayers' situations. But in any event, back to the Roth and the income tax, the ability for you to control the rate. What we're saying is when we convert the Roth, pick your day, if we did it tomorrow, what we're saying is, hey, we're going to control the tax rate on those funds, and the highest rate we're ever going to pay is the rate we're paying tomorrow when we convert those dollars. And now you don't have to convert the whole amount of what's sitting in your pre-tax accounts all at one time. You can do it over time. And so if you don't have enough money to do it all at one time, well, you can do it, you know, in chunks, piecemeal it. And I'm going to tell you, though, you don't want to do it necessarily before you've converted your money into things like private company investments, or such as private company investments. You don't want to convert your money, or you don't want to go invest your money in a real estate private partnership syndication and then convert to Roth, if you can. I have done that with certain clients because they didn't have a choice, but that's not optimal. Can still save you a bunch of money, but it's not optimal. It's optimal to get your money over to the Roth. Wait a minute, I said that wrong. You do want your money to be invested in the private company partnerships before you convert to Roth, because we want to get the advantage of the discounts, the significant discounts on private company investments. So just to be clear, when you roll your money over from Schwab or Fidelity to your self-directed either IRA or 401k, we prefer the latter, self-directed 401k, aka Solo K, has some benefits which exceed those available to the IRA. But bottom line is, you want to pull the trigger on a conversion after your account holds private company investments, and you'll see a huge difference in the tax bill that will be due. And we recommend paying that from outside. In other words, pay it from a money market account, not your retirement accounts, because it's a bit cannibalistic if you're going to kill the geese that are laying the golden eggs, you know, in your retirement account. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take another break, and we will circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. Here's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the sun,
like me
with big dreams and faded tears.
Welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We've been talking Roth conversions most recently on today's show. And we're going to get to, I was trying to explain why we do them. We don't want to pay, or we want to pay as little tax as possible. We're going to fix our tax rate. Going forward, it's going to be, well, not going forward, it's going to be fixed as of today on the dollars. It's definitely fixed on the dollars that we have that we might have to pay tax on in the future. We're going to say, no, we don't want to do that. We want to pay it now and know how much that number is. And so that's basically the reason to do it. You know, I was looking at the U.S. debt clock .org, and you know, one of the numbers that we keep an eye on, because it's kind of critical for us and a lot of other countries. And by the way, there's a lot of other countries, developed countries, that are in far worse shape than we are. I know, you know, I'm looking at the U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio. Our gross domestic product, and this is real time, it is $31 trillion, well, 31 point, almost 31.7. However, that doesn't sound right. Maybe I'm off on my places. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you the bad news. The bad news is it's 124%. No, that's right. It's 31 trillion. So we're at 39 trillion on the debt. So 125% roughly of GDP is our number. Japan, as an example, is over 200%. Used to be over 300, but they've worked on it, and they've got it down to 200 and some odd. I forget how much. I believe it's even below 220, 230, somewhere in there. And when you look at how we spend our money, it's mind-boggling when you look at these numbers. And the order has changed over the last couple of years on the top four. Used to be Medicare and Medicaid taken together is in the number one slot. It still is at almost $2 trillion per year. Social Security is $1.65 trillion. And so a couple years ago, the interest on the debt surpassed defense / war. And so interest on the debt now is over $1 trillion a year, $1.14 trillion on this real-time clock. And then defense is under $1 trillion. It's $946 billion. So it's a lot of money. I mean, it's just hard to fathom how we ever pay it back. But let's not worry about, well, you and I are not members of Congress. They need to be worried about how to restructure this debt. We need to worry about our own scenario and how we're going to minimize tax going forward. And the Roth is definitely the best option we've got to do that. In any event, let's talk about the reasons now why you might not want to do a Roth. There's an article in Kiplinger. I think I just got this in today or yesterday. At least the email came in. And as they point out, in spite of Roth conversions having recently become one of the most popular retirement tax planning strategies, the financial headlines often promote them as a way to create tax-free income, reducing future RMDs. Those are the required, required minimum distributions, and leave a more tax-efficient legacy to your heirs. For many retirees, these benefits are real. But Roth conversions aren't a one-size-fits-all solution. In fact, as many financial planners will tell you, converting retirement assets at the wrong time, yes, timing's a big deal. And that's what I was trying to say when I got my wires crossed a few minutes ago. You want to get your money into the real estate private partnerships and then do the conversion. Once your money is invested in private partnerships or private companies, that's when you want to consider pulling the trigger. But anyway, if you invest or you convert retirement assets at the wrong time, it can also result in paying more taxes than necessary and reduce your long-term wealth. So the key question isn't whether Roth conversions are good or bad. It's whether paying tax today will do what? Will save you on taxes in the future. That's what the game is about, trying to reduce the future tax hit, which, by the way, for most people, it's their highest expenditure in retirement. Below are six situations where retirees may want to think twice before converting. One, you don't have a pension. One of the biggest factors in determining whether a Roth conversion makes sense is your expected future tax bracket. For retirees without a pension, their future taxable income is often lower than it was during their working years, as many rely on primarily, rely primarily on Social Security and modest withdrawals from retirement accounts. Continuing, as a result, they could remain in a relatively low tax bracket throughout retirement. Well, that may be true, but I think what you're going to have to swallow hard on is that your taxes, the brackets you're in may not change in terms of being the lowest or the middle or top. But the rate, it's clearly got to change. Again, over $39.5 trillion deficit right now. And by the way, folks, that is not the true deficit. That is the deficit that we admit to, that we include in the current budget cycle. And if you look at the total U.S. debt, the part that we have not yet funded, it's $109 trillion. So tell me how the rates are not going to go up. I'd love to believe you, and I don't see it. And by the way, these numbers may not be correct because I see other folks that analyze this general area of the fiscal budget that say is the total debt is really over the $150 trillion mark. So, you know, everybody that opines on this topic has their own criteria for what they're including. And for instance, this breaks out credit card debt, Credit card debt is not included in this U.S. total debt number, and it's $114 trillion. Amazing. Let's see. Each holder, anybody, if you took the group of people that have credit cards, each holder, I guess each household maybe, holder, whatever, if you wanted to find that, I guess there could be multiple holders within a household. Anyway, $127,829. It's a lot of debt. Okay, so back to the six reasons. So the tax bracket is the first one that Kiplinger brings up as to why you might not want to convert, which it's hard for me to give you a better, or I'd like to see a number on where they think the tax rates are going to go before I buy into this statement about maybe not doing a conversion because of this issue. If you expect to stay in a lower tax bracket for life, voluntarily accelerating taxes through a Roth conversion might not provide as much benefit. Well, that's a very true statement. But again, that's preface. The first part of that sentence was, if you expect to stay in a lower tax bracket for life, I don't see who can expect that given what we've got already, not just facing us, but we're knee-deep in it. By contrast, retirees with a substantial pension often face a different reality. Pension income can create a permanent tax floor that follows them throughout retirement, making Roth conversions far more attractive. Okay, the second reason you may not want to convert is if you have less than $500,000 in tax-deferred accounts. Your account size matters. When evaluating Roth conversions, it's important to consider future RMDs, which, as you know, start at age 73 for us younger retirees, and 75, I'm sorry, I said that backwards, start at 73 for some folks older, or 75 for many younger retirees. The IRS requires withdrawals from traditional IRAs and other tax-deferred retirement accounts. However, smaller account balances produce smaller RMDs. Let's go on to number three. That's kind of self-explanatory. Your tax rate today, here's the third reason you may not want to undertake Roth. Your tax rate today is higher than it will be in retirement. Well, I would agree with that in the situation where you're investing in conventional stock market type investments. But that's, again, the beauty of being invested in real estate private partnership syndications, where we get the huge discounts on the amount invested. And I would argue that in most cases with my clients, they're not in as much of a tax rate arbitrage game as what you are if you're working with normal conventional type investments. Let's go on to let's see, I was just checking. I tell you what, before we leave this tax rate today, if your tax rate today is higher than it will be in retirement, let's do what Kiplinger does here. They say, consider someone in their peak earning years who is currently in the 32% federal tax bracket. If they have no pension or moderate retirement savings, they may eventually find themselves in the 12 or 22% or even lower tax brackets after they retire. In that scenario, converting assets, while working could mean prepaying taxes at a significantly higher rate than what would have been owed later. I'm not going to say that can't happen, but again, when you're getting discounts on your private partnership, private company investments, I would tell you it's likely said discounts will far outweigh the possibility that you're going to be paying taxes at a much higher rate today than will be owed later. I think the rates are going to skyrocket. They're going to have to. Something's going to have to give the government the ability to pay on that debt. Okay, four, you're planning to retire early. That's the next reason you may not want to do it. One reason not to do a Roth conversion today is that you have a better you could have a better opportunity later. Early retirement often creates what planners call a tax window, a period after earned income stops, but before Social Security, pensions, and RMDs begin. Well, true, good point. And, you know, we're careful to vet that possibility when we're talking about real estate private partnership syndications. But even beyond that, we're looking more at the structure of the partnerships and the projections that they're showing to determine whether or not each candidate for conversion is a good one, meaning the last thing I want to do is convert a partnership that looks like it may be entering some choppy headwinds and the value could go dangerously lower, or even with what's happened in the last two or three years, it could find itself out of business, foreclosure or deed in lieu of foreclosure scenario. I mean, that's the last thing you want to do, obviously, is pay tax on something. And that's true, by the way, whether you're talking about a market investment, a stock, mutual fund, etc., or whether you're talking about real estate. And I would tell you, real estate, typically, it's less likely than some of the market assets. Let's see here. We've got two more. Let's see. Number five, your children might be in lower tax brackets than you. Okay. Good point. If after you've passed, you know, the assets that your heirs get are going to be are not taxed if they're Roth assets. And so, you know, if their rate is significantly less than yours, that would be another way to deal with providing for lower taxes. Again, their rates are going to go up too. They're in the same country's tax system that you and I are. And so I'm going to tell you, I don't think most people have an inkling at all about what tax rates will have to go up to. According to CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, they've studied this several points in the last 20 years for Congress. And what used to be a 150% bump to solve the deficit problem is now 200% or higher of the tax brackets if you back up to early 2000s, or I believe it was late 90s. I'll have to pin that down again for next week's show. It's the report we've talked about that CBO gave Paul Ryan when he was Speaker of the House. So that'll give you some idea of the, I think it may have been 2009 now that I'm thinking about it. Today's inherited IRA rules generally require most non-spouse beneficiaries to empty inherited retirement accounts within 10 years. Because of this rule, many parents assume they should convert everything to Roth accounts, but there are considerations to think about. The better question is, what tax bracket will your children be in when they inherit the money? Well, okay, that's like a lot of things under the tax code. Tell me when you're going to pass away, and I'll give you the exact answer of when you should do it. We don't have that luxury. And again, I'm coming from the perspective that the tax rates are going up significantly. I don't care if you're the donor or the donee or, you know, the heir and the deceased. Let's go to the last one. Six reasons you're single today but expect to marry. Tax brackets are not static. A single retiree who expects to get married in the near future could gain access to larger tax brackets and a higher standard deduction through married filing joint status. Okay, well, there's the music. We're at the end of the show. We're glad you could join us. We hope you'll join us the same time again next Sunday, 7 a.m., right here on KSEV.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.